Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help me to bring your message to your children. As we feed on your word, we want to grow to be more like you in every way, every day. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 6, verse 19 to 23, NLT. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin, and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness, and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful love message from God. Earlier in the same chapter of Romans 6, in verse 16, it says, "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." So you can see that your eternal destiny is your choice. Some have got the predestination idea totally wrong. It's as if God picks some and not others. We haven't got to Romans 8 yet, but it's all in there. So we can look forward to some forthcoming attractions there, like we used to have in the movies. Those of us who used to go to movies in days gone by, they have forthcoming attractions of what movies are coming up. As a brief overview, Romans 8:29. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." The same idea is reflected by Jesus himself in John 6, verse 63-65. "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew who would betray him. Then he said, 'That is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me.'" Another scripture that I've often touched on, that God gives each person a measure of faith. So there's no excuse. He's given us everything that we need to make that choice. It's up to us to choose. And we get plenty of encouragement in John 20, verse 31. It says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So a lot of information is given in the Bible about Jesus and his life, so that people can come to the conclusion that he is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the seed of Abraham promised in the Old Testament. And also further back to the seed of the woman that will bruise serpent's head, and his heel will be bruised by the serpent. So that's all background information. This is all about slaves and slavery. In the olden days, there used to be slaves. It used to be a standard thing. And then they had that slavery war in America, and slavery was abolished there. And worldwide, it seems to be a lesser thing, although it does still happen today under different guises, but we won't get into that. So slavery isn't as common today as it was in time of this writing of this letter to the Romans, but the people in those days understood the concept of slavery, the concept of being a slave and having to obey the master. And yeah, the fact is that in the spiritual realm, you are slave to the one that you obey. Be it a slave to Jesus Christ, to righteousness, or to the enemy, leading to death. the Israeli nation was in slavery in Nebuchadnezzar's day and all those things in the Old Testament. And by the time we got the New Testament, they were conquered by Rome. Were they enslaved by Rome? I don't know. They didn't seem to think of it that way, because in John 8, verse 31 to 36, we see their belief on the subject. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And there the son is a capital S, and he was referring to himself there, the son of God. Talking of being a slave, the term slave and servant are sometimes interchangeable in the Bible. And Romans 1 verse 1, it says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news." And so you can see that Paul considers himself to be a slave of Christ Jesus, and he is basically serving Jesus. So he calls himself a slave. Whether it's slave or servant, it's basically serving God. And again in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 19, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ." So then again, you see the servant's heart. Jesus had servant's heart, and Paul is copying Jesus. So he's serving people to bring them to salvation. Not only to salvation, but to disciple them, to help them to grow. In the spiritual realm, there is no difference between slave and free. In Galatians 3 verse 28, "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, the Holy Spirit makes us one in Christ Jesus. To come back to the idea that it is your choice, there's that passage in Deuteronomy. It's a multiple choice question, only two answers available, and it does give the right answer. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11 to 20. "This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, 'Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey?' It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, 'Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey?' No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart, so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy." And here's the crunch. "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." There's the right answer. So just in case you were wondering which is the right one to choose, choose life. "You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And so we have passed from living by the law to living by grace. And yet even in those days, it was all about relationship. Love the Lord your God, obey Him, and commit yourself firmly to Him. It's that commitment, it's that relationship, it's that loving God with all your heart and all your mind, which is the first commandment in the Ten Commandments. And remember, today we have the law of love, and that fulfills all the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. So that's why this passage is valid for today's people. Just in case you're wondering, the people also wondered in John 6, verse 27 to 29. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one He has sent." So again, we are not asked to do all the works of the old covenant, but we are asked to believe in Jesus, the one He has sent. Jesus was talking about Himself there. And just in case you're not feeling up to the task, don't worry, you're in good company. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, "Each time He said, 'My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.' So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So if you're feeling that you're not strong enough, don't worry. God gives you His strength. And yeah, there is that scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's Philippians 4:13. And Jesus Himself expressed His dependence on the Father while He was in His human form. In John 5 verse 19, as I've often shared before, so Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." And of course, to end off with that well-known scripture at the end of our scripture reading, Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And so, we can earn stuff. Yep, that's death. The wages is what you get paid from the efforts. And our efforts can only bring death. The free gift of eternal life comes by grace through Jesus Christ. The gift of God of eternal life comes through Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our biggest brother, our bestest friend. And we cannot do anything to earn that. We can only earn death through our sinful actions of the flesh. But the spiritual requirements of holiness before God can only be met by the free gift of salvation. I remember the wedding clothes. I've highlighted it before as well, Matthew 22:12. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. That's when the king invited general people to the feast, and the initial attendees were unwilling to go. So he asked the servants to get the people from the highways and byways. And of course, those would be the poorer people and the homeless people, and they would not have fancy clothes. So they were given the wedding clothes to wear. And God gives us robes of righteousness. Our sin is not visible because it is covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus washes away our sin, just like a plate that's washed in dishwasher liquid. You cannot see what food was on there because it's gone. All traces of it is gone, washed away, rinsed off, and it's no longer there. So that plate is and looks clean, because it is cleaned by the dishwashing liquid, and we are cleaned by the blood of Jesus. So, with all this good news at our fingertips, let's shine our lights.